The following program is brought to you by the friends and partners of Andrew Womack Ministries, celebrating 40 years of sharing God's unconditional love and grace. Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack. On today's program, Andrew explains how miraculous changes can take place in your life when you stop limiting God with small thinking. Now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series talking about Don't Limit God, and we're nearing the end of my fourth week of teaching on this. I've got a brand new series. I just taught this in Phoenix, Arizona at a Gospel Truth seminar at the end of December. Well, actually, it was the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of January, so it was at the beginning of this new year. And we have this new CD album entitled Don't Limit God. I've got it also in DVD that was taken directly from our television programs. And when you receive these albums, we've got this little static cling sticker that'll go off and it'll stick to a mirror and or anything. And it'll just be an encouragement to you that you can take the limits off of God. I believe God's plans for each one of us are greater than what any of us have experienced, and it's not God who is withdrawing from us because of His displeasure or we aren't good enough or worthy enough, holy or whatever. It's us that limits God. I've talked about how we can limit God through a wrong understanding of sovereignty. You can limit God if you don't know that God has a plan for your life and if you're just doing your own thing. You can limit God through fear of change, fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of success. You can limit God through unbelief. Spent quite a bit of time talking about that. You can limit God by disobedience. And then I've been talking about how that we can limit God if we don't let our imagination embrace and see the things that God has for us. In Proverbs chapter 29, it says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." And that vision there is talking about that on the inside, all of us have an image of what we can do and what God can do through us. And if you have the wrong image, you're going to get the wrong results. You know, I've already given prior in this week some of my own personal testimony that I had an image on the inside. I knew that God had called me to ministry. I knew that God wanted me to have a worldwide ministry and reach lots of people. The message that God has put on my heart, He wants it to reach every person that I possibly can with. And I had that knowledge, but I hadn't taken that knowledge and I had never seen myself fulfilling it. You know, I don't even have the words to verbalize what I'm trying to say, but I couldn't see myself doing it. I knew that that's what God wanted me to do, but I couldn't see me doing it. I don't know if that communicates to you or not. I don't know how to express this, but I'm just telling you that when I see something on the inside, when I can see myself doing it, then I guarantee you I will see myself doing it. But if I can't see myself doing it, even though I know it's something that God wants me to do, I just can't. I can't get there. Here's an example of what I'm talking about. You know, I don't remember the exact timing on this, but it was decades ago. I was reading in John chapter 14, verse 12. And that verse says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Now, I had come to a place where I'd embraced that, and I believed that that was for me. You know, there was a time in my life that I was actually taught that miracles don't happen today, and so, of course, when you don't believe for those kind of things, when you don't even have that as a goal, there wasn't any way that I was going to see miracles happen. And as a result, I saw my father die when I was 12 years old. I was with three people who died by the time I was 18 years old who were very important in my life, and I prayed for every one of them to be healed, and I didn't see a single thing happen. But see, I wasn't taught the Word. I was actually taught the opposite of the Word, that miracles passed away. It was only out of desperation that I was praying and asking for a miracle, but I didn't believe it. I didn't expect it. I didn't see it coming to pass. And so prior to my personal encounter with the Lord, I was taught that those things didn't happen, and I accepted that opinion. Once I got really turned on to the Lord, I just intuitively knew that everything that was in the Bible was for us today, and it hadn't passed away. And when I started reading things, especially this verse, John 14:12, that the works that Jesus did, I would do also an even greater works than these. I embraced that. And I started believing it. And I knew that that was for me. And I knew that God wanted me to experience that. Well, what are the works that Jesus did? You know, some people get around this verse, the obvious meaning of this verse, by saying, well, what are the greater works? And some people say it's being on radio and television and reaching masses. Like right now, we have the potential of 2.2 billion people watching this program this very day. Now, that's a huge deal. And some people say, well, those are greater works. We're reaching greater numbers of people. I'm not convinced that that's what this is talking about. But, you know, at the moment, just forget what the greater works are. What are you going to do with the part of the verse that says, the works that I do shall you do also? And then greater works. Let's forget doing the greater works until you've at least started doing the works that Jesus has done. Amen. There's some people that just skip over this and go right on to this other thing and say something. What are you going to do with the thing that says that the same things Jesus did, we should be doing? God just took that verse and it jumped off the page at me. And I realized, Father, you gave me a commandment there. It also says in Matthew chapter 10 that you gave me power and authority over all sickness, over all disease, over all demons to cast them out. You gave me a command to go preach the gospel, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. And on, there are just so many scriptures. I finally came to a place where I said, Father, I see that I am supposed to be seeing the miracles happen that Jesus saw happen. I'm supposed to be seeing blind eyes open, deaf ears open, dead raised. I'd seen some of those things happen, but it certainly wasn't consistent in my life. And so I began to just say, Father, I am going to meditate on these scriptures. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. I took every instance where Jesus healed a person. Every instance. I've got them all on my computer. Every single instance. And I don't go just through Matthew and then Mark and Luke. I mean, I go through all of those and put them together so that I have all of the times that he healed one person in a certain instance. If it's recorded in all four Gospels, I've got all four Gospel accounts right there. And I just go through and I study these things and I look at what Jesus did. And then you know what I do? Some of you will think this is weird, but this is how it works. I see Jesus standing there and calling Lazarus, come forth in a loud voice. You know what? I see myself doing that. I don't just read about Jesus doing it and make a disconnect between him and me. He says, the works that I do shall you do also. And so I go to seeing myself standing there in my imagination. I see myself raising people from the dead. See, this is exactly what I did with these scriptures. I began to start meditating on them. And I would take where Jesus raised the boy from the dead at the city of Nain. I took where Jesus raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. I took where Paul raised people from the dead. Peter raised Dorcas from the dead. Paul raised Eutychus from the dead. I went over and studied Elijah and Elisha raising people from the dead. And I began to meditate on this and study that. And every time I would read about this, when I read about Elisha raising the Shunammite's son from the dead, and he stretched himself upon the child and walked and prayed and then stretched himself again and the body got warm. You know what? In my own mind, in my imagination, I sit there and see myself doing that. Anticipate, what must Elisha have been thinking? What was he doing? You know, I know that there's a lot of people that don't approach the Word this way, but let me just say that I think that this is why the Word may not be working in your life as strongly as it's working in my life. You know, I've now seen three people raised from the dead, and I don't believe that there is a coincidence here. There are many of you watching this program that know this Scripture. You know that we have been given that command and that we have that power and authority, and yet you don't see these results. Why not? I'm telling you that a lot of it is because you have never seen it on the inside. You haven't meditated on it. This is my testimony. When the Lord showed me this, I began to take this and meditate on it and study it and say it with my mouth and see it on the inside. And it got to the point that I bet you I went for a 6-month period of time that every night I was raising multiple people from the dead. It's what I dreamed about. I don't know if it's this way with everybody, but with me, when I get really focused on something, I mean when I am just literally obsessed with something, I dream about that. And when I got so focused on I'm going to do the same works that Jesus did and even greater works than these, John 14, 12, I'm telling you that for 6 months, in my dream, I raised hundreds, thousands of people from the dead. I was dreaming about it. It got to where it was occupying my subconscious as well as my conscious. And then you know what? It wasn't just a very short period of time after that that, boom, I saw this man in Pritchett, Colorado raised from the dead. Then I saw a man in Kansas City raised from the dead. And I believe that there was a direct correlation between me taking these scriptures and meditating on it, reading these accounts, and not just seeing them do it, but seeing myself. I intentionally, knowingly, deliberately begin to imagine myself raising people from the dead. And guess what? I've seen it. And that happened back in the early 80s. And then, you know, I went from probably the mid-80s until, I forget exactly the timing, but it would have been close to 2000, somewhere around 1999 or 2000. So I went nearly 15 years or more, and I hadn't seen any person raised from the dead. I had these two great testimonies, but you know what? I was reading once again, and I read John 14, 12. And I thought, Lord, you know, the same process that I went through 15 or 20 years ago where I just started meditating upon this, I believe that the same thing would work again if I was to go to meditating on it. And so you know what I did? I intentionally, deliberately, this doesn't happen just accidentally, I deliberately started going back and once again studying the scriptures about miraculous displays of God's power, reading about healing, studying about it. I took every instance where people were raised from the dead, and I not only saw those people doing it, I saw myself doing it. And guess what? Within months of me doing that, I started once again dreaming that I was raising people from the dead. And then on March the 4th, 2001, my own son died, was dead for 5 hours. And because I had been meditating on this and I had seen myself speaking and raising people from the dead, my own son was raised from the dead after being dead for 5 hours. Now, you may or may not believe that. I really don't care. I'm telling you that that's what happened. You can ask my son. He knows it. I've got a granddaughter that's 6 years old. I wouldn't have had her if this hadn't have happened. And you know what? I'm telling you that there is a relationship between this. There's a lot of people that just sit there and they pray for something. And see, like me, I believe that it was God's will for me to operate in the supernatural. I knew the scriptures that commanded it. But I'm telling you by my own testimony that I didn't see the demonstration of it until I started taking those things and not only seeing other people do it, but I started seeing myself doing those things. I had to deliberately sit down and meditate on it until I got this, I believe the scriptural terminology would be hope. I got this hope on the inside of me, a positive imagination, seeing it come to pass. And then once you see it, it'll come to pass. And you know, this is basically the way that I conduct my life. When the Lord tells me to do something, I do have faith and I start moving in that direction. But I meditate on things until all of a sudden I see it. You know, this building, I've used this as an example too, but the Lord told me that we had a $3.2 million renovation on this building that I'm in right now. And the Lord told me not to take out a loan, that my partners were going to provide it. Well, I knew that. I had a word from God. I made some decisions. I moved in that direction. I confessed it to people. So there was faith present. But you know what? If you would have pushed me, do you really believe without any reservation that this is going to get done? You know what? I wasn't to that point when I made that confession and when I began in that direction. I had faith, but it wasn't perfect. It wasn't complete. So you know what I did? When this building, it used to be a warehouse, I actually had our builder take our plans and put duct tape down on the floor. And he put in every wall, every door, every window, everything that was going to be in this building. And it was just nothing but an empty shell. And I couldn't tell you exactly, but I know it was hundreds of hours. I'd spend 3 or 4 hours a night after everybody else had gone home. And I'd be up here and I'd just walk and I'd pray over this place. And you know what? I would never walk over that tape. I would act like these walls were here. I remember in our auditorium, I put up paint cans and put plywood across them, and I stood there and I preached just like there was hundreds of people in there. And what I was doing, I was trying to help myself see this place finished. There was a battle going on. All I could see, we had some trenches drug where there was the sewage pipes in there and drainage and things like this. And there were these open trenches and we ran out of money. And you know what that was saying to me? It was saying, it's not working. You're going to fail. You're not going to make it. It was trying to present an image on the inside of me. So I countered by putting this tape down, and I spent hours walking in here and speaking and thanking God. And I said, I thank you, Father. I see this place. And I was in my imagination picturing this place. And you know, it started out that it was an effort. But as I did this over and over and over, it actually got to a place to where, man, I saw it. I actually passed a point, and it wasn't just, you know, in 5 minutes or something that, boom, it happened. But over a process of time, over weeks and months, I got to a place to where I saw this place. I saw everything in here. I designed this building. I drew where all of these walls went. And I walked and prayed over it, and I saw it. And when we actually got this building complete, it took us 14 months to bring in this extra $3.2 million, which was the greatest financial miracle I had ever seen at that time. And when we actually got into this place and we had an opening rally, and of course all the students and other people were here and everybody was just shouting and praising God, I actually had some people walk up and say, "What's the matter? Aren't you blessed? You seem so quiet. Why aren't you as excited as everybody else?" You know, the reason is because I had already seen this. I had seen it long before, months before. There came a place where all of a sudden I knew. I could see it. Again, I am at a loss of words how to describe what I'm talking about. But I started this process just doing it because I knew I had a word from God. I had heard from God. I was taking steps of faith. It's not like I wasn't believing God, but I'm saying until that image got crystal clear on the inside of me, I didn't know that I know that I know that it was all going to work out. I was hoping and believing, but I wasn't to that place. But as I did it, and as I did these things to help me visualize and see it, and I built a little makeshift stage, and I put up this tape on the floor to show me where the walls were, to help me to see and visualize what it was going to look like. As I did that over time, that vision, that image on the inside of me got so clear that I knew it was done. And once I saw it, I passed a place to where, man, it was done. And when I started, it was something I was in here fighting. I was interceding. I was praying against my own carnality and my own fears and things. But after a while, it got to where every time I came in here and prayed, it was just exciting because I knew it was coming to pass. I had seen it on the inside. And I don't have, again, the words to express this, but I'm telling you that this is the way that I function. When the Lord tells me to do something, I'll move in that direction, but I'll start meditating and I'll spend time allowing my imagination to just think about this. I'll meditate, I'll muse on it over and over and over, and I'll reach a place where all of a sudden, boom, I've got it. I see it. And once I see it, I will see it. I don't know how to explain that any differently than what I'm doing. You know, here's an example. I heard a testimony one time about a preacher's wife who had real poor eyesight, and she was nearly blind, legally blind, and her glasses were as thick as the bottom of a Coke bottle. And anyway, they had a healing evangelist coming to her church, and she knew that this guy was going to want to pray for her eyes, and she had already been prayed for before, and she was disappointed and didn't want to be disappointed again. And so she tried to avoid him, but he cornered her, and he made her take her glasses off, and he prayed for her, and then he says, "Now can you see?" So this woman started to open her eyes, and he said, "Shut your eyes." And she closed her eyes real quickly, and she was wondering, "Well, what's he doing?" He asked me if I could see. So he said again, he says, "Now can you see?" And so she started to open her eyes again. And he said, "Shut your eyes." And she shut her eyes, just totally confused about how am I going to tell if I can see if I can't open my eyes? So he said, the third time, now can you see? And she started to open her eyes again. And he said, I didn't tell you to open your eyes. You've got to see with your heart before you can see with your eyes. You've got to see yourself seeing. And all of a sudden, she understood what he was talking about. So she kept her eyes closed. She prayed in tongues and just meditated on it. And finally, she says, I can see it. I can see myself seeing. And he said, now open your eyes. And she opened her eyes, and her eyesight was perfect. And see, I think that there's a lot of people who pray for healing. They desire it. They know the scriptures concerning it. But they haven't taken the word and seen themselves seeing. You know, when you've had some kind of a physical problem for a long time, it not only gets in your physical body, it gets in your mind. It gets in your imagination. There are some of you that see yourself. You dream about yourself sick. When you dream, you've got that back pain. You've got this problem. When you dream, you see yourself dying. You see yourself going into the hospital. Getting sickness out of your body is minor compared to getting it out of your mind and out of your imagination. And I think that there's a lot of people who desire healing and know that it's been provided, and so they just prematurely pray, but they've never seen it on the inside. I really think we would be better off if you were to take the scriptures and just before you commit yourself and set yourself up for a prayer and then not seeing the positive results, which will discourage you. I think it would be better for you to say, you know what, I'm not really there yet. I'm not ready to believe at this exact moment, but I'm in the process. I know it's available, and I'm going to meditate on this until you can see it. And once you can see it on the inside, then you'll see it on the outside. But if you can't see it on the inside, you won't see it on the outside. And I know that there are many of you that God has spoken things to. You've got desires in your heart, and yet you haven't taken the time and the effort and the deliberateness to just meditate and use your imagination, hope, and see this coming to pass. You want your marriage to be healed, but you haven't sat down and just meditated and seen your mate loving you and serving God and doing this. Instead, what you do is talk about all the problems. Even when you pray sometimes, all you do is, oh God, they beat me, they beat the dogs, they beat the kids, they steal our money, they're doing it. And all you do is just rehearse everything negative. You know what that's going to do? That's going to make a high imagination that actually works against you and limits what God can do. You need to take the word and see your mate being the man or the woman that God wants them to be. You need to see your children serving God. You need to see yourself fulfilling God's will for your life. This is a product of your imagination. You can see things in your mind's eye that you can't see with your physical eye. If all you're going to do is be dominated by what you can see with your physical eyes, you are going to limit God. But if you can ever begin to start seeing it in your heart, that's your spiritual womb. That's where conception takes place. And I tell you, it'll release the power of God in your life. I'm out of time on this today, but I am going to continue this teaching on our program tomorrow. And so I encourage you to listen in then. And also listen as our announcer gives you some information about how you can get this brand new CD album from a recent Gospel Truth seminar, along with this sticker on Don't Limit God.
Andrew's 5-part teaching titled Don't Limit God was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available in either a CD album or a DVD album for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1060C or DVD album T3204D when you contact us. You can also get Andrew's teaching as seen on TV by requesting DVD album T1060D when you send a gift of any amount to this ministry. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We can't overemphasize how grateful we are to you. The fifth teaching in the audio CD album titled Don't Limit God Part 5 is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to send a gift, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fifth teaching free of charge. Request teaching TK151C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Everyone who sends a gift today will receive the bonus Don't Limit God sticker. This reversible static decal will cling to your window or mirror, reminding you not to limit God with small thinking. Visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of resources free for you to download for yourself and to share with others. Or you can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, I'd like to encourage you to pray about coming and being a part of our Charis Bible Colleges. You not only can come here to Colorado Springs, but we have about a dozen different schools scattered throughout the world with more coming online. We also have a correspondence course. But you talk about helping your imagination. This is what happens. People come and sit under the Word of God, and the Word of God will paint a picture on the inside of you. And I just see people come in one way and leave a different way every time. And it's because their imagination has been fired by the Word of God. I know that this would make a difference. And if you can't come here, you can do it by correspondence. There's a number of different ways. We have a number on your screen. I encourage you to call and inquire about one of our Charis Bible Colleges.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He will be in Atlanta, Georgia, March 5th through the 7th, Colorado Springs for the Charis Bible College weekend, March 12th through the 14th, and in Merritt Island, Florida, April 19th through the 22nd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I'd like to invite you to join me on March the 12th through the 14th for our Charis Bible College weekend. It's going to be right here in Colorado Springs at our Charis Bible College. And I know that there's many of you that just recognize that there's something more. You don't know exactly where to go. And you know what? Bible College would be an awesome first step just to saturate yourself under the Word of God. God speaks to people. People's lives are changed. And so we're going to introduce you to our Bible College. There's actual CBC classes that you'll be sitting in on. You'll have a lunch with the faculty. There's a great time of fellowship. It goes Thursday morning through Saturday noon, March the 12th through the 14th, right here at our facilities in Colorado Springs.
Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.